the book of Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. This is where the devil is trying to come and take on Jesus. How many knows the devil is an idiot? Come on now. You see, Jesus has been fasting 40 days and nights, and the devil thinks, well, he's weak now. He'll be vulnerable. I'll just go take him on now. Wrong. Come on now. See, that's when the devil tries to attack you, is when you're the most weak and the most vulnerable. Amen. And he'll attack you in different ways, but most of the time, the enemy attacks you in your mind. He starts injecting thoughts and he starts whispering words, maybe from somebody. Whispering lies that he wants you to believe. Come on. You say,
the devil used, even in the Garden of Eden, he used lies. It was deception. He told half-truths to get them to believe what he said, and then they messed up.
See, that's understand this, folks. The whole purpose in a lie is to get somebody to believe it. Do you understand that? If somebody tells a lie and nobody believes it, it don't matter. It's those that believe it that are affected by the lie, actually more than the liar themselves. If you go in the Word of God, you'll find out that there was a thing called a lying spirit. When the king, God's there and he says, you know, these guys down here, they're against me. They're going against me. And I need to let them know that I'm God. And they're not. And I need somebody to go down there and do something. And this spirit came and said, I'll go. And he said, what are you going to do? He said, I'll be a lying spirit in the mouth of every prophet. And every prophet told the king, said, go up to war. You're going to win for sure. How many knows he got killed in that battle? Why? Because he believed the lie. When you believe the lie, it kills you, not the one that told the lie. So remember that, okay? The devil's here with him. He thinks he's going to be vulnerable. He thinks he's going to be able to talk him into stuff. And notice here, I want you to see this as we get ready. The devil likes to use Scripture. You know what's sad is most of the devil knows more Scripture than most Christians. It's the truth. He likes to use Scripture. But let's look here. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led of the Spirit. Notice he's led of the Spirit now. He didn't just take a walk. The Spirit of God led him. Sometimes we think that the Spirit won't lead us into somewhere. But notice he leads him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Notice that God didn't tempt him. The devil did. The Bible says God doesn't tempt anybody with evil. It's the devil. But at the same time, here is the Spirit leading Jesus. And it says, when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Notice that the Lord Jesus says, you'll not live by bread. Or in other words, you'll not live by natural things, but it's going to be the every word out of the mouth of God. When you look up the Greek meaning of word, every word that proceeded out, it's the Greek word rhema, and it means utterance. So what he said there, he said, you can't live by bread alone, but you're going to have to live by every utterance out of the mouth of God. Okay? Now, what you've got to understand, church, is that there is power in words. Everything Jesus spoke had power in it. Why? Because everything that God spoke had power in it. Right? God spoke and everything was created, right? The Holy Spirit moved as God spoke. Now understand, as Jesus spoke, the Holy Ghost moved. Now I'm going to mess with you now. Since you are sons and daughters of God, children of God, and the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you, when you speak,
the Spirit moves. There is power in your words because you are an anointed child of God commissioned to do business for God here on the earth. He said, occupy till I come. You can't occupy without authority. Come on now. The only way, if you're occupying authority in authority, only way you can get knocked out of that place is for somebody to try to come and knock you out. Well, guess what? The devil's always trying to knock you out of your place of authority. And the one of the ways he can do it is just to get you to keep your mouth shut. Don't say those powerful words that have been anointed of God. Keep your mouth shut and just murmur and complain about what's going on. Amen. See, God gave you the ability to speak out and believe. David talked about it. He said, we have in the same spirit of faith. You know, I believe, therefore I've spoken. And Paul writes, he said, therefore, we also believe and therefore speak. We're supposed to be speaking out, church, but what we're supposed to be speaking out is faith. Faith out of our mouth. The Word of God out of our mouth. Decreeing and declaring. I'll show you some things today. See, go. If you jump over with me, Proverbs, I'll let you read this, and so that way you can see it. Because some of you are looking at me like real funny, like the words don't mean anything. But I want to show it to you here in Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. We'll just jump up to 20 there. Proverbs 18:20 says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. Now, let me just stop. How can you satisfy your belly with the fruit of your mouth? It's got to be producing something. Right? It's got to be bringing something to pass. And notice that. With your mouth, you have that increase. Look at that. And with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. So with the speaking, you get satisfied. In other words, this will drive some folks crazy. You're going to get what you say.
Amen.
But the next verse is the problem. Death and life. Not just good stuff. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life. Look at it. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life coming out of it. See, you're a person of faith. Right? You got saved through faith, right? The Bible says if you don't have faith, then you're not His. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So we have to be faith people. So if we're faith people, then the words we speak are faith. And here's the problem. Faith works both ways. Death and life. You speak death out of your mouth, guess what you get? You get death. You speak life, you get life. You speak blessing, you get blessing. You speak cursing, you get cursing. That's why the church is in the shape it's in now. We just keep speaking cursing and death over ourselves because we've not been taught that God wants us to have life and have it more abundantly. And so we just keep speaking what we've heard our ancestors say. Come on, we just keep speaking what the world says. How many knows the world don't have any idea who God is? Come on. See, that's the thing, you know, you hear around in this area. My gosh, Pastorette and I lived the first half of our lives and every bowl we had in the house was a butter bowl. I mean a butter bowl. I'm talking about, you know, the plastic bowl that you got your butter in and after you eat the butter out of it, you save the bowl because that was your cereal bowl now. Come on, can somebody give me an answer? How many of you know what I'm talking about here? See, some of you don't have a clue. Some of you don't have a clue. But see, we came out of that generation that had been in depression. And so when they came out, my granny, I've told this many times, my granny would go around and pick up bent nails and straighten them. I live in her old house now. When I first moved in, the basement was full of coffee cans, and it was actually cans back then, metal cans. But it was full of bent nails and nails she had straightened. And you know why? Because she came through hard times and you saved everything, including bowls and all. You know, they were never taught that God wanted them to be blessed. They had come through hard times to, you know, you better save everything you got. Hard times can come again. They had never been taught the Word of God, so they didn't know that they could believe what the Word says and not have to worry about that anymore. When we started learning faith and we started learning the Word of God, I thought, my God, God wants us to have better than just butter boats.
That's right.
Come on, God wants us to have some fine china. Now, fine china probably come from the TGNY at that time, but, you know, that's as fine as we could afford at that time. But you know what? I hadn't learned the word of prosperity at that time, but I'd learned that God wanted me to have some stuff. Come on now. See, but we hadn't learned that we could speak on these things. So we'd always just, you know, you were always speaking. Well, I guess we'll never have that. Come on, see, some of you just got real quiet. That's one of the most negative things you'll ever say out of your mouth. That is, I'll never be able to do that. I'll never have that. That'll never happen for me. You're playing right into the devil's hands there. The Word says that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think according to the power that's working in us. What power you got working in you? I got the Holy Ghost working in me. How about you? So that means God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all I could ever ask or think. In other words, if I think, God, I'd like to have $1 million, He'd say, what? Why so little? Come on, see, some of you, that just blew your mind right there. He's the God that owns everything. He owns all the cattle on the earth. Come on now. And He says He's given the earth to the children of men. It says the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just or the righteous. Come on, somebody. How about we just start talking like God wants us to talk? Did anybody ever read in the Word of God where Jesus said, I'm broke? Now, see, preachers preaching broke. They preaching broke all the time. I'm just talking about us speaking the way we ought to speak, and I'm showing you some things in the Word here. You hear preachers say that all the time. They talk, well, you know now, Jesus, now, you know, He never had no money. Can I ask you something? How many of you all need a treasurer to travel around with you? Because ain't none of you needs a treasurer to run around with you, do you? Jesus had a treasurer that traveled with Him that carried the money. Truth bomb. Jesus wasn't broke. Matter of fact, his job, even though he was a crook, a thief, his job was to go out and give money wherever Jesus told him to go give money, to help the poor, whatever they did with that. Jesus wasn't broke. Oh, come on. See, the world likes to paint this picture so that they can tell you that you can't have anything. You've got to be humble and you speak bad against yourself. I doubt any of us got any clothes on that would be fine enough that if they crucified us on the cross, that they would flip a coin to see who got our shirt. But they did for Jesus. Finely woven. Nice garment. Jesus didn't walk around looking like a pauper. Why? Because He was representing the kingdom of God, and He wanted everybody to know that He's a good God. He's not the God of lack and doing without. He's the God of more than enough. The trouble is our mouth keeps telling us that we're not worthy, that it's not possible. God, that's not right. That's not what God wants. You quit listening to the world. Quit listening to the devil. And start listening to the Word of God and start speaking it out of your mouth. Quit speaking death and start speaking life. Well, yeah, but now, Pastor, you just don't know how I feel. I'm really sick. Well, just start calling yourself the healed of God. Speak it over yourself. Speak healing. Why? Because by His stripes, you were healed. All you're doing is getting your mouth to line up with what he said. Now, if the Bible's true, then healing belongs to you. If the Bible's a lie, then we're all just kind of wasting our time. Come on, right? But the Bible is true. God wants you living in prosperity. Now, your level of prosperity is up to you. Now, God wants you to... No good thing will withhold of them. God wants you living however you want to live. I'm going to choose to live as the best I can. And I just, Pastor Mike, you know us Christians, I just don't want somebody to be talking about me. Newsflash. They're going to talk about you no matter what. Whether you're doing good, they'll talk about you. If you're doing bad, they talk about you. Come on now. It's just the way it goes. So you might as well go ahead and let yourself be blessed of God and let them talk about you that way. So you can just look at them and say, well, you can say what you want to, but I'm blessed of God.
Amen.
Come on. I'd rather be blessed as to be cursed, wouldn't you? I've tried broke. I've tried broke, folks. I know what it's like to live on little. You know, Pastor Rhett and I, we got married when we were 18 years old. I mean, we graduated high school in May. I turned 18 May the 10th. She turned 18 May, June the 4th, and we got married on June the 16th, right out of high school. I had to sign a paper when I went into the strip mines that if I got killed, I was just killed because I wasn't even old enough to work in the strip mine. We didn't have much. We get laid off every winter. You got laid off all through the winter as soon as the weather turned bad. We didn't have much. We know our furniture was hand-me-down furniture. Thank God for good parents that give you a bed out of their house so you'd have a bed. Come on. You see, and we didn't know. I mean, we didn't know that we was poor. Yeah, we did all right. She'll tell you that. We thought we was doing good, baby. I'm talking about when we first got married, how we thought we had it. We just the best. I remember I was going to go buy a stereo one time. I was going to give $80 for a stereo. I had her mother with me. Well, she's like, what? You're going to give $80 for a stereo? Yep. You can't give $80. Yeah, watch me. Her mother liked to try to tell us what to do sometimes. And then I had my mom down the road. Where y'all going? I wish they were back telling us what to do, don't you? But I know what it's like to be poor. We know what it's like to be poor. We've been there. I'd rather have some money. Now, we ain't rich by no means. We ain't wealthy by no means. But praise God, if we want to go eat out, we can. Back then, we couldn't even go out. We didn't know what it's like to get to go out and eat, really. I mean, you know, that was like a special thing. Now everybody eats out so much, they eat out don't mean nothing. You know, it was a time when you want to bless somebody, say, come on, I'm going to take you out to eat. Well, they probably just come from eating. Right? You know, but you see, that just shows you how God has blessed us and we've come to this. But we didn't know that we were supposed to do good and have money. We didn't know what the Word of God said. We were Christians then. But we hadn't been taught the Word of God that said the things that we were speaking out of our mouth was affecting our life. Because we never could see ourselves being prosperous. We never could. You think I ever saw myself up here? Never saw. God's brought us through more things. They posted a picture on. Pastor John Hansen posted a picture on his thing where I was preaching over in Haiti, teaching pastors. You think in my wildest dreams I ever thought I'd be in a third world country preaching and teaching pastors in another country? See, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you could ever ask and think. You see, and part of that is just because I started learning the Word of God. And what you see now is a product of my mouth. Is that right, Pastor Ed? We were sitting around still in a denominational church, some of us friends. But we were starting to learn a little bit more Word. And we were all sitting around. I've told this before, but I'm getting old enough now I can tell it again, okay? We were all sitting around a table at my friend's house, and we were all talking about if you were pastoring a church or you had a church and you could have what you want, what kind of church would you like to have? You know, and some of them started talking about, well, I'd like to have a souped up Baptist church. And, you know, they were talking different things. And everybody said, and they come to me and I said, I want a big church. I want TV cameras and I want lights in the church. And I want a church where the people are worshiping and praising God and we're not going to limit God. Amen. Well, it's come to pass. I didn't have a clue back then that God would bring that all to pass, but that's what came out of my mouth. It was in my heart. I didn't want to cheapen God out. Did you hear me? I wanted to make room for God to do what He wants to do. When we built this church, they tried to talk us into building something smaller. And I said, no, that's not what God wants. And I'm telling you something, they still ain't room in this place yet for what God's getting ready to do. I've been telling you this for a while, but one of these days, y'all that come in at 10 after, probably going to have to stand. Amen. I'm telling you, you just hang on, hang tight. You'll see, and then you're going to be mad because somebody got your seat. I can't believe somebody else got my seat. I've been going there 15 years. Been coming 10 after 15 years, too. Amen. All right, I got to go. I got to move. I'm at starting the middle. But death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's, in other words, I'm going to fill myself with whatever I'm saying out of my mouth. And we've got to learn then to begin to speak over ourselves, health and well-being. Right? Every night I thank God. I thank you, God, that I'm healed. I thank you my wife is healed. I thank you my family's healed. I thank you for your safety and your protection around us. I thank you for your favor. I thank you for your anointing. I thank you for the people at New Generation Church that they are blessed and anointed and healed. I'm speaking it over you. Start speaking it over yourself too. Come on. See, most of the time we get caught up in what the world's saying and doing and what we've been. That old man tries to come back and we start saying things like, oh, no, my back is just about to kill me now. I'm telling you, if something don't happen, I'm going to die. How much life was in that? How much healing was in that? Yeah, it may be true that your back is hurting very, very bad. That may be the truth. But the fact is, Jesus Christ was striped for your healing. So what you say, rather than my back is killing me, thank you, Lord God, for my healing in my back. Thank you, by His stripes I'm healed. In Jesus' name, pain has to go.
Amen.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do to me. No, that's what you're supposed to do to yourself. I'll lay hands on you, but you need to speak. Hey, listen. It don't bother me nary bit if I need to throw my hand on myself somewhere and say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Why? Because I'm speaking out what the Word said to speak out. You cannot be ashamed. And you have to understand, and I'll show it to you here in Scripture, that the words you say mean something. Matter of fact, let me give you James chapter 3. Now, I'm going to give it to you from the Message Bible. Okay? James chapter 3, first 10 verses. Verse 1 says, don't be in any rush to become a teacher, my friends. Teaching is highly responsible work. Teachers are held to the strictest standards. Well, I could just stop right there and say amen to that. You guys expect me to be better than you. It just got real quiet. He's a pastor. We're all children of God. I just got more responsibility than you do. But accountability, we all have the same. Amen. And this is why he said, don't be in a rush to be a teacher because you've got a lot stricter responsibilities there. Teachers are held to the strictest standards. And none of us is perfectly qualified. We get it wrong nearly every time we open our mouths. If you could find someone whose speech was perfectly true, you'd have a perfect person in perfect control of life. A bit in the mouth of a horse controls the whole horse. A small rudder on a ship in the hands of a skilled captain sets a course in the face of the strongest winds. Now listen to verse 5. A word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything. or destroy it. Did you just hear what I said? Let me read that again. I love that. A word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. Death and life. It only takes a spark, remember, to set off a forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. By our speech, we can ruin the world, turn harmony to chaos, throw mud on a reputation, send the whole world up in smoke and go up in smoke with it. Smoke right from the pit of hell. This is scary. You can tame a tiger, but you can't tame a tongue. It's never been done. The tongue runs wild, a wanton killer. With our tongues, we bless God our Father. With the same tongues, we curse the very men and women He made in His image. Curses and blessings out of the same mouth. My friends, this can't go on. See, James is trying to let us know, listen, what we say means something. See, most people think, oh, I don't mean nothing. God knows I didn't mean that. It came out of your mouth. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. We have to be careful in making sure we've got faith in our heart, so what's coming out of our mouth is faith. What's coming out of our mouth is what the Word of God says, not what we've been taught, not what human nature, not what our upbringing has in us. Right? A lot of us that come from around here, there's a lot of things in us that just weren't biblical, weren't true from the Word, and we were taught to say and do those things. Right? Come on now. There's still Goliath is still going on, but how many of you were taught, you know, you better put your coat on if you go outside, you'll catch flu. Come on, see, some of us older folk, that's what our mamas and daddies used to say, you know. But that's when they made you go outside, though. Yeah, that wouldn't win you could be 40 years old in the house still playing video games in mom and dad's basement. No, they actually put you out of the house. They got you up, fed you breakfast, and put you out the door. If it was snowing, you better get your snow boots and stuff on because you're going to be out in the snow until you come in and your clothes just froze up and whatever, and they let you get in front of the fire, get warmed up, back out of the house. I know some of you don't have a clue what I'm talking about because some of you are young and you brought up, you know, you just didn't get out of the house. You stay around the house. That didn't happen, you know, when we were growing up. And so there was a lot of stuff that was instilled to us, you know. They'd put you out, but then tell you better put your coat on or you'll catch the flu or you'll catch your death of cold. It's always negative stuff. I'm really glad that I heard my daughter talking about that she's getting to have a class now and talking to grandparents that are raising kids. How many knows grandparents are raising the kids a whole lot these days? You know, and she's getting to talk to the grandparents and the parents about being positive to their kids. Now, I know that sounds like something silly, but you don't know how many grandparents are saying, you big heater, and you ain't going to never be nothing. You ain't got no sense. They're always talking negative to those kids. It's words out of their mouth. Some of those kids take that. My wife grew up with a lot of negativity spoken to her, and she still, I'll just tell it on her, she still deals with that sometimes today. Because she feels like she's not enough or not good enough because of what was told all her childhood. See, sometimes that happens when the parent has a favorite kid. You're looking at me funny, but it happens. One kid gets a lot of stuff and one kid gets all the hugging, all the lovings, the other kid gets all the whippings. So you're looking at me real funny. When we went on prom, can I, it's all right. I'm telling everything. She says, you tell everything. When we went to our prom, we were the first ones back to the house. Her sister came later. Okay? And I had to set her sister up with a date so that we could get to go to the prom. Her sister came home later, and after we'd left, she got a whipping. Because she came back late. We didn't come back together. So you're looking at me funny. People make differences. Things happen. It affects you. It kind of makes you think, you know, why did I get a whipping? I was the first one back. Why didn't she get a whipping? She was late. But it was her fault, our fault, because we didn't come back together. See, you're looking. What I'm trying to show you here, you've got to be careful about the things you're saying, even to your kids and the things that you're doing, because the words that you say to them do matter. Notice how it said that you can throw mud on somebody's reputation just with your mouth. Isn't it amazing in our country now that somebody can just accuse you of something and you got to try to prove yourself innocent? And everybody believes you're guilty till you do. Including church folk. And that's a shame. It matters what you say. The words that come out of our mouth. As faith people, you and I ought to be speaking faith. We ought to be speaking truth. We ought to be speaking life. We ought to be speaking prosperity. God did not say that we had to be in poverty. We had to live and in death, had to live all the time, depressed and down and out. No, He said, Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. How am I going to have life abundantly? Well, I'm sure not going to get it by saying, I don't want it. No, don't give it to me. I don't want it. I'm just not worthy of having anything. I ain't never had nothing, never will have nothing. It won't happen by that. What you need to do is start out, give it to me, God. I'll take everything you have. I'll take everything the Word says you can. I can have. I'll receive it in faith and give you praise and glory and honor for it. I'll thank you for it. See, our mouths. How many remembers when Jesus spoke to the fig tree? You remember that? Jesus is, He's coming out, going into Jerusalem, and He sees a fig tree over here, and he's hungry. So He goes over to the fig tree, and there's no fruit on it. It's not time for them to really even have figs on them. And He looks at the tree, and He said out of His mouth, let no more fruit grow on you from hereafter. And He walked off, and they go to town. They come back that afternoon. They come back the next morning. And over, I think, around verse 21 of chapter 11 of Mark, Peter says, look, Master, the fig tree you cursed is died. And that's when Jesus begins to give him a faith lesson. Because He says, have faith in God. Now, He spoke to the tree, and now He's telling Peter, you got to have faith in God. He spoke to the tree. And the tree dried up. And Peter is so amazed, but Jesus looks and says, have faith in God. Right? Then He begins to teach him. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and not doubt in his heart, but believe that the things he saith shall come to pass, he'll have whatsoever he saith. Notice what Jesus just told him. It's all about your mouth, son. Now you have to believe, but you also got to say. Now, there's no doubt Jesus believed the tree was going to dry up. So when he spoke to it, it dried up. But now he's given Peter a lesson. He said, listen, you've got to start saying some stuff out of your mouth, even if it seems like an impossible thing to you. Whatever your mountain is, whatever this obstacle is, whatever this thing is that's in front of you, you need to talk to it. Not talk about it. The church likes to talk about stuff. Jesus said, you talk to it. He said, you say unto the mountain, don't, oh, no, look how big that mountain is. Oh, my gosh, look at the mountain. Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Oh, my gosh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Jesus said, speak to it. Say to it, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. Talk to it. Use the words of faith. Speak at it. If it's your healing, speak at that. Come on. Sickness or disease, you need to tell it to go and allow healing to come. If you're having problems with your finances, you need to speak to your finances. Speak to them. Now, we understand that there's the give, tithes and offerings given, it'll be given to you. But you also, though, you have to believe that God is going to bless you. You've got to believe it and then speak it. Come on. I believe today God is going to give me favor. I believe today that my finances are going to grow, and I'm going to turn around and look at my finances and realize that God blessed me all the way. I used to be there, but God has brought me to here. Thank you, Jesus. It was you that did it all along. See, if we can't see it happening to us, it can't happen to us, because that's what faith is. Faith is seeing the unbelievable and watching it come to pass. And it happens by saying. He says, if you'll say to that. Notice this, in that it said saying three times. If you say to the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and not so it shall not doubt in your heart, but believe the things you saith come to pass, you'll have whatsoever you say. Did you see that? Say and believe. We need to be speaking out of our mouth what the Word says, because I believe the Word, don't you? God can't lie. And, you know, you say, well, now, Pastor, that's easy for you to say. No, it used to not be. I know what it's like to this. I would have choked on this. It was hard because I had never been there. And so it was hard for me. But I just chose to believe the Word. I just chose to believe the Word. And the Word has come to pass and still coming to pass. Thank God. God is not a respecter of persons. He wants every person that will speak out His Word to have what they say. Amen. Come on, I know this makes some preachers, they just cringe. Oh, you shouldn't say that. See, the church for some reason thinks that being broke and poor and all that is holy. It's not very holy when God tells you to give somebody something and you ain't got nothing to give them. Right? So you and I, God wants to bless us so we can be a blessing. And you get blessed by believing the Word of God and saying what the Word of God says about you. Amen. Anybody besides me, and I've had to break myself from this, anybody ever said anything like when somebody got something nice, you look at it and say, man, it must be nice. I'll throw up both hands. You know, must be nice. Must be nice. Rewind that. Thank you, Lord God, you gave it to them. You're not a respecter of persons. You'll give it to me. Come on, still it must be nice. I'm going to get that too. Because He's my daddy, and He can't get one kid something without getting the other kid something. You all know that. You're parents, right? Come on, now you can't buy one child something without buying the other child something. You know, I was lucky. I just had one child. So, but Stephanie gets it all. So there you go. You know, right? But you see, that's what I'm saying. But our mouths say stuff like, when we say that, what we're saying is, I'll never have that. That's impossible to ever happen to me. But that's not true. Stevie Harrod, where's he at? Right there. You ever think you'd get on an airplane and fly from here to Oklahoma? No, he never thought he would, but he did. Right? There's some of us have been some places. Charles Hurd, I know Charles Hurd never thought he'd ever end up in Haiti or Chuck, neither one. Mr. Isom back there, he went with, there's been a few people, Brother James Lee. We went to Haiti, to a foreign country. Never dreamed in our lives we'd ever go there, but God brought us there. You see, again, you can't put limits on God. You have to be careful. Everything you see here, God brought to pass because we talked about it. And we're still talking about it. I ain't quit. I'm not satisfied. And I hope you're not satisfied. I hope you want to see this place grow beyond boundaries. And come on now. You know. Maybe we have to link the buildings together. I don't know. Whatever God tells us to do, that's what we'll do. Praise God. So He spoke to that fig tree. Now, He's teaching on faith there, and He says, you know, this is how you have faith in God. And let me just say this to you. It don't matter how many times you say it. If you don't believe it, it won't matter. Because there's a lot of folks say it because it's just in their head. That's not really in their heart. But you still got to say it. Amen. You just keep saying, Think about this one. In Luke chapter 5, there's a leper that comes up to Jesus. And he looks at the Lord Jesus and he says, Lord, if you will, you can heal me. If you will, you can heal me. It's kind of the cop-out things. But he really meant, Lord, because he didn't know. He said, if you will, you can heal me. And Jesus immediately says, I will. But not before. Now get this. The Bible says that he touched him and said, I will. What I want you to get is this. Jesus touched him and nothing happened. Can you imagine the anointed Son of God, anointed by the Spirit without measure, looking at a leper, put his hand on him, wasn't supposed to touch him in the first place, but he put his hand on him and nothing happened until he said, I will. And his I will made the leper understand that he could have it. Because Jesus spoke it, I will. And he was healed. What I'm trying to tell you, that if Jesus touched people and it took the word to be spoke, maybe we ought to be speaking a little bit more. Because our words spoken out gives confirmation to what we're speaking to that it can do what we're saying. Did that mess with your mind a little bit? How many of you all today gave your angel a charge? Two of them. Praise God. See, some of you are looking. You do understand that the angels are an innumerable company, and they're sent forth for you, the heirs of salvation. The angels of the Lord encamp round about you. Every one of you has an angel, a guardian angel. That angel's there for you. But most of our angels are kind of just sitting around getting fat and lazy. No, they're not. They don't get fat and lazy. But I'm just kidding. But we're not putting them to any use. How many times have we dispatched angels? With our mouth. See, I know I'm saying some stuff that just absolutely making some of you really uncomfortable. Have you not studied the Word? Jesus said there when He's on the cross, I could call legions of angels to come. Come on. If they're ministering spirits for us, then they're here. If you could see with your spiritual eyes right now, you'd see angels all over this place. They're here. Your angels are here. And other angels are here. It's time for us. I love what Dad Hagen used to say about finances. Dad Hagen used to say this all the time. He'd say, whenever I needed something financially, he said, I'd go to God and I'd say, God, I thank you that I know that it's your will for me to have it. And right now I need X amount of dollars. And so right now, in faith, I release my angels to go out and bring that in to me. Thank you, Father. I have it in Jesus' name. And it would come.
Well, the angels didn't bring it to him.
He got it, didn't he? He didn't have to see them. You don't got to see them. You just got to believe and say. It's time for the church to start believing and saying, believing what God says, believing the Word, speaking out the Word. Jesus touched him and nothing happened until he spoke. So that means you and I, as the church, can I tell you something? The church needs to start prophesying. The church needs, let me prove to you that you can. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 31 says, "For you may all prophesy one by one." They're talking about even in a church setting here. "That all may learn and all may be comforted." Every one of us needs to be speaking. You listen, the word prophesy here means this. It means to foretell events, divine, speak under inspiration. How could I, as just a human being, be able to speak and foretell events or speak divinely? Because it's God in me. I'm not just a normal human being. I am a child of God. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Old Mike's gone. Behold, all things become new. I'm a new man in Christ. My old life is dead, and I don't ever want to dig it back up. I got a past, you got a past, we all got a past. Thank God the past is the past. Everything now is new. And because it's new, we're new creatures in Christ. And therefore, God works through us, and He speaks through us. Part of the gifts of the Spirit is speaking. There's actually three verbal gifts of the Spirit that He gives us. So see, that tells me how important our speech is. The church needs to quit looking around and just telling what's happening and start looking around and speaking what needs to happen. Out of our mouth, we need to start speaking what needs to happen. Come on, church. That's the whole power of our words, that rhema, that utterance, that spoken word. It's time for you and I to say, you know what? God gave me a mouth, and I'm going to start using it for Him. Not only am I going to use it for Him, I'm going to use it for me. Amen. I will have what I say because the Word of God says that I can be satisfied with the fruit of my lips. And I'm going to be. Anybody else in here would agree with me on that? Amen. Glory to God. See, we all have to understand this. And as we do, I'm telling you, our church is going to get stronger because you're going to be speaking in more things. Come on. Whatever it is that's lacking in your life, if you'll begin to speak to it, and speak the Word of God to it, I promise you it's going to happen. Whatever's dead that needs to grow, if you'll speak life into that, it'll start to grow. How many knows Jesus said, "My words, they're life." Right? So if I'm speaking life into it, remember Ezekiel when he's there in the valley of dry bones? He said the bones were very dry. But what did the angels say? Speak to them. Speak to them. Tell the life to come. Tell, and all the bones start to come together. The meat not come, but there's still no breath. He said, "Now prophesy to the four winds that breath come." And breath came into them, and they rose up a mighty army. It's time for the church to rise up and be a mighty army. We need to start prophesying into some of our dry bones and some of the places that we know that we're lacking and we've had a problem in. And let's start speaking to that and let God change that for us. Amen. Stand to your feet with me. We could talk about this for a while, but I don't want to keep you too long. I just want you to get the fact that you need to watch what you're saying and use those words as power for you rather as them being detrimental to you. Use it to bless, not curse. Remember what James said. Same mouth gives blessing and cursing. But he said, bless. Don't be cursing with it, mouth. Amen. I'm not talking about dirty words. I'm just talking about you saying things that God don't want for you and start saying things that God does want for you. Can we pray? Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to help.